Hello, beautiful soul, thriving mama. Most of you here are mamas, I think. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm going to talk about something that's close to my heart, and that is using the work of Byron Katie to undo the knots in my mind. I thought maybe I would have some kind of cool music there, but maybe I just might leave it silence. Take a deep breath. Jump in with me. So, in the midst of the current culture and all the current thought processes of different people being like really attached to what they think is right, we've got a lot of beautiful inner work happening. And that's kind of where I'm at. If you follow my dear friend Chelsea, who is under the handle at the Energy School on Instagram, I will link it in the description of the podcast. She has been on fire lately with like beautiful prayers, uplifting messages, and just so much love and light from her Instagram page. She's all about kind of thinking and creating the life that you want to have. And so one of the things she posted recently was, "My family is perfect. My parents are perfect. I am so eternally grateful for my parents and my family." And this kind of irked me. I was like, oh, she's like perfectly grateful for them? She thinks they're perfect? She has no problems in her family. And knowing Chelsea, I know that there are some problems in her family. So how can she say that? You know, is she lying? And also in my body, I also feel a certain amount of envy, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of, hey, I want that. And so whenever I feel envy and jealousy, I like to dive in a little bit deeper. One of my tricks with envy and jealousy is I try to get closer to that which I'm envious of. And often I find things that are kind of hidden under the surface. For example, you can think that someone's life is perfect, be envious of it, and then get closer to them and realize that they actually have a lot of problems that you're really glad that you don't have under this surface of what you think their life is perfect. And so Chelsea is a close friend, and I feel comfortable kind of reaching out and asking her more. And she has been sharing about this book about the subconscious mind. Let me try and pull it up. I hope I'm still recording. Yes. And I'm reading it right now. It is called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And I'm diving into it. You know, if people have something that you want in their life, then it only makes sense to kind of do things that they're doing in their life. Another woman I love that I follow is Mimi Icon. She is a successful entrepreneur and mother and just feels like a great person from what I see of her. I actually did bump into her in person once. That was really cool. Felt like I was meeting a movie star. But Mimi Icon always says, like, read the books that the people who have the life that you want and who are kind of how you want to be, read the books that they read. A lot of these people are awesome, great people and share a lot of their content and tricks for free. So read their same books, download those same kind of programs into the mind, and watch your life change for the better in your own unique way, right? It'll never be the copy image of someone else's life. So Chelsea was talking about this. I love my life. I love my family is perfect. I'm so eternally grateful for them. I love my family. I love my parents. I love my siblings. And there have been some quite difficult, challenging moments, especially in the past 2 years. I kind of sit on opposite ends of, maybe not completely opposite. See, this is what the work we're going to be doing today. But I sit in different philosophies about certain aspects of life that can create some friction. And a lot of that is, you know, friction that we cause ourselves that isn't necessary when we have differing beliefs over something. And I think that humanity is actually undergoing a lot of beautiful work in this sense. I think that the internet and social media is bringing different thoughts and ideologies and ideas into the world, and that this is a good thing. We've kind of all had the same education, the same media, you know, pumped out at us for 100 years. And now there's like so many different alternatives. So whenever I kind of hit these walls of feeling like I'm so different than some people that I would like to be closer to, and I think that it's actually really great. I try to come back to this idea of gratitude, that I'm really glad that we actually have more diverse thinking. I'm also really glad that I love people who think differently to me, because they are challenging me to rethink how I think, to soften some of my edges and become a bit more flexible, and also to still appreciate and give space for and respect other people's points of view and choices as I follow my own. And so I wanted to show you the work of the work. This is by Byron Katie. She has a few books out, but her main book, I believe, is called Loving What Is, which is really a fabulous read. And I read that about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I had meant to reread it a few times because it really landed with me quite powerfully. And I don't think I reread it that many times. I did go back to it and I would play it in my sleep. This is a little trick that I do. I love Audible and audiobooks. And so I will often listen to books as I fall asleep. And sometimes books like these, like Byron Katie's books or other kind of self-help, spiritual, uplifting books, I will just play as I fall asleep and they will just keep playing. And so I'm kind of learning, taking in the information on a more deeper level as I sleep. And Byron Katie's work is very simple. So she was a woman who spent many years of her life completely depressed, like not getting out of bed, locked up in her room, dwelling about her life. She has many children. I don't know, I would say 3 or 4. I'm not really sure. She had a husband. I think she did end up divorcing him. She was smoking. She was like suicidal, but I think she spent a long, long time. Okay, I don't quote me on this, 20, 15 years, really just depressed. And I've been through bouts of depression. I kind of like to go really deep and dark and then say, okay, that's done with. And now I don't need to do that anymore. So reading her book actually made me feel quite grateful that my experiences didn't last so long, because she really did, you know, one could say, waste a big part of her life just being depressed. But was it really wasteful? Because if for the last, I don't know, 20 years, I think she woke up from her depression like in her 50s, and then she started doing this work that she shares with people. And now she's older, she's in her late 70s or early 80s, and she's still teaching and lecturing and helping people. There are some really great YouTube videos that she has. And so she... could one say she wasted her life, or was she, you know, depressed enough for long enough that it inspired something amazing that came about on the other side of it? And so in Byron Katie's The Work, there are 4 kind of steps. So you choose a belief and you follow 4 steps around that belief. And so her idea is that when you have a thought, it changes It affects your emotions. And so we can control our thoughts and therefore control our emotions. So if we want to be happy and look at the world lovingly and feel loving about the world, we can think thoughts that will make us feel that way. Now, that's like the main premise of her work. I think it's very interesting because there are other professionals who say it's the opposite. We have a feeling and that generates a thought. For example, the book Letting Go by Dr. David Hawkins. He's a psychiatrist. Really love that book. That's another one that I go back to often. Recommended by Mimi Icon, who I mentioned before. His approach is to work out the emotion and release the emotion, and that changes our thinking. So I find that very interesting to have two quote-unquote experts who believe opposite things, but isn't that the truth of the world? I think that these are the paradoxes and the seeming polarities that we can bring together and somehow meld and somehow look at from a different perspective and see that they're not really contradicting opposites, but actually very supportive of each other and are all part of the whole truth, and that both are mostly true and a little bit untrue, and we can kind of tweak it to our own life and perspective. And so Byron Katie, her approach is to start with the thought. So there's a specific thought that we have. And then we first ask it, is it true? Can I absolutely know that it is true? Then we look at, how do I feel when I think this thought? How would I feel without the thought? And then you turn it around. And you can look this up. This is available on her in her material. It's described in the book, but I thought it would be worthwhile to look at a thought that I have and to do the work with Byron Katie and see how it feels. And I think that many people have this thought right now. And the thought is, I wrote down a few different thoughts that were kind of around my relationships with my family members that have been really strained in the time of COVID. It's been hard. Well, yes, it was hard. And these are some of the thoughts that I had that I worked around it. So some of the thoughts are, I'm tired of it. This is hard. They don't understand me. And I don't want to do it anymore. Right? Okay, so let's look at the thought, they don't understand me. Right? That's a big one. Let's just dive into it. Okay, they don't understand me. That's the thought. And so first question, is it true? So first it's like, yeah, they don't understand me. They don't get me. They're doing this, 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 and this. They don't get me, you know, from my perspective. Then the next part is, can I absolutely know it's true? On all levels, completely, absolutely. Absolutely. Is it true? And I have it in my notes because I actually wrote it down, and I find that doing this process, writing it down, really makes it stronger. I do it in my mind sometimes more quickly, and over time, that's kind of how Katie says that she, or Byron, her name is Byron, that's how she does it quickly in her mind. But she also recommends when you first start the process to write it down. And so when I have some sticky ones, I write them down. So here I have written down, yes, I absolutely know it's true. But with the part, you can see that there's a little bit of space around the not around this thought. I have a beautiful card of that a friend gave me, Mary the Untier of Knots. So I find that sometimes when we have these thought forms that are repeating over and over, it's like and they're creating tension and sadness and heaviness in our being, that it's like these knots that we have in our minds, and as we think them over and over, it's like we're pulling to make that knot even tighter, and then it's just harder to undo, right? And the blocks in our being are even more, they're even more blocked because the knot is more tight. And so by asking, can I absolutely know that it's true? There's a bit of doubt there, right? It's like, yeah, yes, I absolutely know, yes. Okay, so next step. Fine, you absolutely know that it's true. How does it make you feel when you think the thought, they don't understand me? Okay, so when I think that thought that they don't understand me, it makes me feel alone. It makes me feel sad. It makes me doubt myself. I feel weak. I feel like I don't belong, and I feel like I don't want to belong. And all of these things feel like pretty, you know, pretty heavy and dark and kind of cloudy in the field. Okay, so that's there. How would I feel without the thought? And then I picture myself in my life without that thought at all. And I can see, wow, I would feel happy. I would feel supported. I would feel loved. I would feel seen. I would feel more energy. I would feel more freedom to be myself. I would let go of pretending, you know, trying to force people to understand me. And I would feel free. Even just reading this, I feel so much better. And having written it down, I think that since I wrote it down that day, I feel these things 100% more. Okay, so now we turn it around. So the turnaround is interesting because there's many different ways that you can turn around the thought. And again, it's outlined in Byron's book, but I thought that I would do it here for this example. So the thought, they don't understand me. One turnaround is they do understand me. They do understand me. How do they understand? And then we find examples to kind of support that. And we see, is the turnaround equally true, truer or as true as the original thought? So again, this is kind of coming back to the idea of those paradox. Are they both sort of true? The turnaround, so they do understand me. How? Well, they also feel hurt, probably. They probably also feel similarly. They probably also think that I don't understand them. So in that sense, they know what it feels like, right? Okay, the next one. I don't understand them. I have it written down. I am making assumptions. I am not letting them be where they're at. I am not respecting their beliefs. I don't make them feel loved and seen and free to be themselves. Yeah, no, I want to cry when I read that. I do that to other people. Feels pretty darn horrible when people, I think in my mind that people are doing it to me. So it doesn't feel great to know that I'm doing it possibly to them, or that they think I'm doing it to them, right? A lot of this, most of these things and most of the problems in human relationships are assumptions from all sides. Another turnaround. So the original thought was they don't understand me. We can turn around all of the words, right? They can be me. Don't can be turned around to do. And the last me can be turned around to them, or right, them. So if we turn around, I do understand me. So this was really interesting and beautiful because this is what I wrote. I do see myself, and have done a lot of work to love and recognize myself. I don't need them to understand me in order to be free and fully love and accept myself. No one else's judgment of me can make me love myself less, though their feedback and criticism can be helpful for growth and learning. Stay curious, heart. That's what I wrote to myself. And that's where I kind of ended it, because that felt so good to write that to myself. And honestly, since that day, I've had a newfound sense of confidence that is like compounding on itself every day. Yeah, I think that that can be really helpful for someone. Okay. I'm going to read that again, you know, if not for me, but also for you. Let's read it again. Then you don't have to go back and play it again. I do see myself, and have done a lot of work to love and recognize myself. I don't need them to understand me in order to be free and fully love and accept myself. No one else's judgment of me can make me love myself less, though their feedback and criticism can be helpful for growth and learning. Stay curious. Okay, the next thought was, this is hard, I'm tired, and I don't want to do it anymore. They kind of all go in together. So let's look at that. Is it true? Yes, this is really hard. Is it absolutely true? Well, yeah, it's hard. But perhaps if it was too hard, I would just stop. Okay. What do I feel with that thought? And sometimes, you know, I catch myself and I'm thinking this over and over in my head. Like I'm going for a walk and I'm thinking about this situation, and I'm literally thinking over and over, this is hard, this is hard, I'm tired of it, this is hard, I'm tired of it. Like these are the thoughts that are happening in the mind, okay? So I'm getting a lot more aware of catching what I'm telling myself. And that is the book that Chelsea mentioned about the subconscious mind is being very helpful to remind me of that. There are some things about that book that I don't fully align with and agree with, but mostly it's a great reminder of watching how I think. So with the thought, I say, when I have that thought, I feel more tired. I feel discouraged. I want to give up. It feels futile. The work that is trying to happen for the relationship. I feel like I'm failing. It feels like a waste of time and energy. It feels hard, doesn't it? When you want to have a relationship and you have those feelings, it doesn't give much energy to make it work. So without the thought, if I didn't think this was hard, if I didn't think I was tired, without it at all, how would I feel? So I imagine myself in my life without the thought at all, and all of a sudden, everything feels more expansive, more energetic. I have more energy to keep going. The work feels worthy and more motivated and less drained. Oh, feels great already, right? Okay, the turnaround. Instead of this is hard, we can say this is easy. The opposite of hard is easy. How is it easy? I have the skills for this emotional work. My soul finds it easy and natural to undo knots and create harmony. This is fun. My soul rejoices in improving and deepening relationships with others and myself. This is the work. This is the main work I want to do for myself and for others, and I'm getting better at it. It's true, this is the work of life. You know, I would call myself a spiritual aspirant of some kind. One of my deepest goals is to know God in my heart and mind, and so that means that this relationship work must be done, and it is juicy, juicy work for that goal and for bringing harmony to others and to the earth. So again, the original thought was, this is hard, I'm tired. So I turned it around to, I have the energy for it. Okay, so how could that be as true or truer? If I didn't have the energy, I wouldn't do it, like last year. So the year before, I had kind of taken a break, a distance, and wasn't making much effort with the pregnancy. It was just, it felt like too much, so I didn't do it. And so if I turn it around, I have the energy for it now, I am doing it. So therefore, I have the energy for it. And I want to do it. That's why it's here. I want to undo the knot in the relationship so that there can be a harmonious flow of energy. Then I even added another turnaround. I want to continue because it's energizing. Every effort is valuable. You know, this is part of what I want to do. I want to open up my heart and create harmony. And so that means that the work in relationships, all relationships, must be done. For me, from my perspective, that doesn't mean anyone else has to do it if it's not one of their commitments in life. But if it is one of mine, then I have to take responsibility for what must be done. And that is the extent of what I wanted to share. It doesn't really mean that things, you know, are perfect really at all. And I don't really know what perfect would look like. So maybe they are perfect, imperfectly perfect. But coming to this full, deep acceptance and gratitude of my family has been really quite the gift. The relationships are deepening. The relationship with myself and my own inner experience of life is kind of breathing and getting a bit more space. And this also, I find some, one of the accusations of Byron Katie's The Work is that it can be a bit bypassing, a bit spiritually bypassing. For example, to always feel that you can't have anything negative. And I don't think that that is the intention with it. The title of her book is Loving What Is. And most of her work is about not fighting reality. Is about really loving and embracing reality. And what Chelsea's work is kind of bringing is even like full gratitude to God for embracing reality. And so here I'm going to get a little bit spiritual, which Byron Katie doesn't. Her work is very good for the atheists, but I feel a deep connection to the divine, to creator, to Father God, Mother Earth, that I work to maintain these relationships. And if I believe that creator is creating everything, and that there are natural balances in the world, then I love the creator, then I love the creator's creation. And so this has been a deep work that I'm kind of doing, inner work, is to love every moment and everything that comes up and to be grateful for it and to see it as an opportunity for growth and expansion and more understanding of humans, of myself, of others, of learning how to better support life and harmony on earth. I find it makes me a better parent because I have this realization every once in a while that frustration is really not necessary. Frustration does not help the situation. It's kind of a block, you know, when you have that feeling of frustration in your body, you don't feel the flow of energy really flowing. So, and also frustration kind of builds up on itself. And that's when I have explosive situations with the children, which I'm not proud about. And some others do not have, which I admire them for. But I certainly do have these explosive moments. And it's often because frustration has built up on itself. And so there are a few more aspects to this, but mostly it is a goal of mine is to, yes, love what is, love the present moment. And then any action that I take, whether it's the words I say or something that I do, is informed by love rather than frustration. And I think that we can find solutions much better when that's the place that we're coming from. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. Feel free to reach out for now on Instagram at This Raw Mom Life. That might change very soon, so stay tuned in the description to the podcast episode as to where to reach me. I'm looking to get a website and an email address, so stay tuned for that. It might have changed after recording this episode. I wish you the most beautiful, flowing, harmonious day.